Sarah Wolf and her family are really into Christmas Tree Lane. They've lived on this quaint tree-lined boulevard for 7 years, and to decorate each season, they arrange some variant of Santa sitting and waving in an antique tractor or car.
This year is a Model A Speedster, which my dad has actually used for drag racing.
On walk nights, people like to actually get in and take pictures with Santa.
Sometimes Santa gets a little beat up, and so he needs some rebuilding after every walk night.
One of their favorite Christmas Tree Lane traditions, though, begins about an hour before the festivities officially start.
You're coming or not? You're staying? Okay.
Wolf and her kids load into their family SUV, and her 15-year-old son, Clark, hops out at an electrical box up the street.
We are turning on the lights to Christmas Tree Lane.
It sounds simple. Just flip a switch or two, right? But the lights connect to over a dozen circuits and breakers stretching from Shaw Avenue all the way down to Shields. Powering them all amounts to a nighttime scavenger hunt involving hidden keys, cobweb-enshrouded electrical boxes, and a dense set of instructions. The Wolves assure me it's not a chore. It's something families like theirs actually look forward to every year.
It's fun, and it's festive, and it's nice being on the lane and hearing the music.
Those in charge of the lights are called lane keepers. After turning the lane on, it's also their job to power it down later that evening and make sure volunteers show up at donation boxes. On this night, the Wolves are the lane keepers, but it'll be someone different tomorrow night and the night after that. Many, like the Wolves, make it a tradition every year.
Okay, let's go.
The Wolves begin around 5:15 p.m. They have 45 minutes to hit 12 stops and flip 16 switches. They've been doing this for close to a decade, but even with experience and a step-by-step list of instructions, finding all the switches can still be a puzzle.
No, I don't think that's it.
Even this early, parked cars line the sides of Van Ness Avenue waiting for the lights. Even a party bike, one of those trolley-looking pedicabs with a liquor bar, sits idly, waiting for the big sign at the entrance to light up.
Is it on?
Yeah.
They're moving.
Okay.
Keeping this all running smoothly is Lori Leone. She's coordinated the lane keepers since 2002, but has all the calendars and correspondences dating back to her predecessor in the 90s.
I have every year for forever.
Okay, Leone has kind of a big job, making sure every night is covered and finding subs when keepers inevitably drop out at the last minute. Plus, new families need one-on-one tours to help them find their way. It seems like a clunky system, but Leone says this circuitous setup is what results when a street like this grows organically over the span of nearly a century.
I mean, in the original days, it was just one house that lit up and then another house that lit up and then a few more houses that lit up and then it progressed to the entire lane and the trees.
Despite the growth of smartphone home apps and electronic assistance, Leone says it's unlikely the street would ever consolidate and be switched on and off remotely. For one thing, she says the lane's piecemeal electrical structure is one reason the lane functions as efficiently as it does. Electrical problems do happen, but they disrupt only a block or two at a time, rather than the entire lane. Plus, she says, giving residents some responsibility keeps them invested.
Having the families involved in the way that we have keeps them, you know, part of the process instead of a process that's happening in our community to us.
Three, two, one, go.
The Wolves certainly enjoy being part of the process, though there's some disagreement about whether high school sophomore Clark will continue after graduating.
It depends, like, if I lived here.
You can't live here forever.
I know.
Sarah Wolf, however, says she hopes to keep doing it even after her kids have left the house. For Valley Public Radio, I'm Carrie Klein.